Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Time to pick back up with part two with our interview with the PA football historian as we talk about the great rivalries of Shamokin and Mount Carmel, Bellwood Andes, Tyrone, Germantown Academy, Penn Charter, and Bishop McDevitt in Harrisburg. Three great rivalries and more from the PA football historian coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we left off a couple days ago. We started part one of a great conversation we had with the great expert historian of high school football on PAFBHistory.com and talking about these great rivalries from the state that I live in, state of Pennsylvania. And it's just some tremendous rivalries that we got to talk about so far. We only talked about two so far, and we have some more conversations coming up here from that interview that we had with him, and we're going to continue that on and cover four more of these great rivalries from Pennsylvania that I think you're going to enjoy, because there are some great athletes that have come out of these, and these rivalries are long-standing and very famous, especially in the towns that they're near. So we'll continue that right now with our PA football historian.
So moving on, we talked about streaks earlier. This is what I was alluding to. So anybody in the coal region probably got this right. It's Shamokin and Mount Carmel. So they've played every year since 1934. They've played 114 times overall. Mount Carmel's won 25 straight games in this rivalry. And I think that somebody might be thinking, how can you call this one of the best rivalries in the state if one team's won every game since 1996? Shamokin hasn't won since 95. You know, I think it combines two things. It combines the history of it. You know, you're talking about Mount Carmel, the winningest team in Pennsylvania history. Shamokin has over 600 wins. They're in the top 50. So obviously tons and tons of history between the two teams. It's not just Mount Carmel and then somebody else. It's Mount Carmel and Shamokin, another historically great program. But you also have kind of the aura of this being a coal region game. And people who aren't familiar with Pennsylvania, coal region is in kind of the dividing line of central and eastern Pennsylvania. I would call it eastern Pennsylvania. Some people might differ with me on that. The hotbed of anthracite mining for well over 100 years. You have a lot of small towns like Shamokin, like Mount Carmel, and you can go down the list and name all the other ones. Lots of really tough people have come out of those towns and tough football teams. And really good football teams forever. You know, I think you could probably make the argument that the three historical hotbeds of, and I'm going to ruffle feathers with this, not intentionally, but the three historical hotbeds of high school football in Pennsylvania, the two are somewhat obvious. You're talking Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. And I think the core region's number three, because when you're talking about the quality of programs and the amount of guys, you go back and you look at an NFL roster from the 40s or 50s, you pick any NFL team, you can almost guarantee that you're going to find at least one guy on that roster from a coal region high school. And, you know, it's kind of a forgotten from a national perspective. A lot of people don't know that area now, but deeply steeped in history. This game actually used to be a Thanksgiving Day game, but isn't anymore. Two teams, they play for the coal bucket, which is perfectly fitting if you know that area. Can't drive through that area without seeing, you know, slag heaps and everything else along the side of the road. So it fits perfectly. and in a region with a lot of pretty heated rivalries, you know, I think Shamokin and Mount Carmel might take the cake for the most heated, the most passionate. So I thought it was a good one to include, despite, you know, the lopsided nature of it recently and historically. Thanks to that 25-year run, Mount Carmel's they lead all time 78-25-11. So really uneven. But again, there are a lot of games in that history, if you go back through, that are one score games, single digit score games. So, you know, don't rely too much on the series record to understand the importance of this one.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because later this week, and I'll probably be airing it next week, I'm going to be talking to historian Joe Zagorski, who's from north of Philly. We're going to be talking about the Anthracite League of the, you know, the 20s and 30s, you know, the Pottsville Maroons and some of the semi-pro teams there and some of the great stars that came out of that. And you're right, there is a plethora of people that came out in early pro football that were from that Anthracite League in the coal regions, and just some tremendous players. And some of them, you know, most people have never heard of, but they were just outstanding. So
then there are guys like Fritz Pollard played there. You know, Fritz Pollard, anybody who's studied the early NFL knows that name, knows who Fritz Pollard was.
He coached in that area too.
Yeah, he played and coached at, I believe, Gilberton. And if you look up Gilberton on a map and you realize that they at one time had a professional football team, like, Gilberton's this big. And now you brought up the Maroons, and I'm going to go back in time someday, and I'm going to stump hard for that 1925 NFL title that was wrongfully stolen from the Pottsville Maroons. Pottsville, Pennsylvania is the home of an NFL championship team, and I will not be convinced otherwise. And I'll get off my soapbox on that. But I feel strongly about that one. So.
We'll have to have a discussion on that, because I have another gentleman that's a friend of mine that works for NFL Films that argues the other way, and he lives in that area, and he argues against it. So, but that type discussion for another day. We're talking about high school football. We'll steal the spotlight from them today.
Right. Yeah. The next one I have, so number four on the list, is one that was submitted multiple times. And I was glad that it did. I wanted to add this to the list. This is one that probably, based on where I grew up, is the one I grew up most familiar with. It wasn't a part of it or anything, but I was most familiar with it. And that's Bellwood, Annis, and Tyrone. Both teams are just north of Altoona, for those who aren't familiar with geographic. They're both smaller schools, but tremendous, tremendous football history, especially in the last 40 years or so, 30, 40 years. It's called the Backyard Brawl, so they stole that nickname from West Virginia and Pitt, but this game's actually still played, and it's very, very intense. They open up with each other. That's a week one game, or I guess now we call it week zero, and I'm kind of anti-week zero terminology. I don't like that, but it's a week zero game now, and it's a little bit unusual for that reason. You know, a lot of times you're looking at rivalry games mid-season or week 10, end of the season. They open up with each other, and Tyrone leads this series 55-31-1, but Bellwood's won the last three straight. Bellwood's a slightly smaller school than Tyrone is. They border each other. The schools are like 7 miles apart, and that's it. This, for my money, is probably without question the biggest rivalry in District 6, and District 6 is a massive district geographically. So you're covering a good chunk of the state by saying that. And I think Central Pennsylvania, and by that I mean basically Pittsburgh to Harrisburg, that area in between, I think this is the biggest rivalry in that whole chunk of the state. It's incredibly heated. It's always close. It's one of those rivalries, because it's week one, there are oftentimes, you know, people who think that, oh, this is Tyrone's year. Tyrone's going to be a force this year, and most years they are. And now Bellwood's going to be awesome, and most years they are. But it seems like one of those games that every year you can just make a prediction and you're always going to be wrong. And so I think that week one factor of it, the fact that you're geographically close, 55-31-1 is not, you know, neck and neck necessarily, but considering Tyrone's the bigger school, Bellwood's been right in there a lot of years. And I think that one of the more unique things that kind of sets this rivalry apart is who these teams have been coached by. You know, for a long stretch of this rivalry, it was kind of defined by the coaches. Tyrone's still led by John Franco. John Franco took them to the 1999 2A title, Tyrone won it. They beat Mount Carmel in that game, actually. And that was kind of a shock of cold water, I think, across the state, because teams from District 6 weren't supposed to win. Teams from the middle of Pennsylvania weren't supposed to win state titles. And in recent years, Bishop Guilfoyle won a few straight. So District 6 now has four titles, I think, as a district. But for about 15 years, Tyrone was the only school from District 6 to win one. And so John Franco's legendary across the state. And then Bellwood was led for years by John Hayes. So Franco had 264 career wins. He's still active, so he's going to continue to add to that. And John Hayes retired several years back, but he won 323 games. So he kind of had a cool, you know, when I was thinking about this game, it almost made me think of like a Bo Schembechler, Woody Hayes kind of thing. Like you had two Titans on the sideline for years and years throughout this rivalry. And you don't get that all the time in high school. So I thought that was pretty cool about this game.
Yeah, I can remember, it wasn't too many years ago, we had a pretty good team from up here in District 10 that we thought was going to go pretty far. You know, you get to follow them a little bit. And they met up with Tyrone in inter-districts, and Tyrone was like a buzzsaw and just destroyed them. You know, we're like, oh, my God, you know, this team's got to be pretty good if they beat. Because our team, we had some pretty good kids on this team, too. And they tore them apart. It was like a 40-point game. I'm like, wow. So we're familiar with Tyrone up here.
Yeah, most years this game goes pretty quick because Tyrone has had years where they've opened it up a little bit, but both of these teams love nothing more than running about 5 to 6 different plays and running the ball 80-90% of the time. So sometimes the backyard brawl seems like it lasts about an hour and a half. They get through games pretty quick because they love to run the ball, but just physical, tough kids. You know, Blair County rivalry, it's just a cool thing. And I don't think it gets kind of the respect statewide that it should, but it's a big deal, and like I said, kicking off week one of the season is a pretty cool thing about it too.
Well, that sounds like a great one. I'm not familiar with Bellwood. I'll have to do some studying up on them a little bit, especially if they have 3 wins against Tyrone.
Yeah, they've been last year was 33-13, I believe. So
wow.
And Bellwood's just been, you know, they're a small school kind of machine that, you know, you have those small schools that they never seem to hit the ebbs and flows that other schools do. They just continue to put out good teams. And even after Hayes left, you know, they've continued to be solid and really strong. So it's a great, great small school program. They've never made it to Hershey. Although I got to update that terminology now. They never made it to Hershey or Cumberland Valley. Now I got to change that because we changed where our state title games are. But they've made state semis, they've made a lot of state quarters, they've had many deep runs in the states. They've just never gotten the whole way to the top yet.
Well, so we're gonna get back on that topic where the state final should be too at the end here too, because
sure. Yeah, I have some things to say about that, I guess. Next game, very different, especially when talking about a Tyrone Bellwood, is Germantown Academy and Penn Charter School. So very different than a lot of the other games that I've been talking about so far. First of all, both of these schools are private schools. They're prep schools. Both schools are not in the PIAA. They're independent schools. They play in the Interacademic League. So, you know, they're playing against Haverford School and other Mercersburg Academy, those kind of schools in Pennsylvania, and then also out-of-state schools, you know, mostly in New Jersey. This is considered the longest continually played rivalry among Pennsylvania schools. And it's the longest one between prep schools nationally. So in all of America, it's the longest one between the longest continual rivalry between two prep schools. They first played in 1887. And I'm going off the top of my head on this, but for reference, I think that was the first year Penn State fielded a football team. And I believe that's the year the Pittsburgh Pirates became the Pirates. So
but more perspective, Walter Camp changed the rules of rugby into what we recognize as football, 1880. He added right. Scrimmage, you know, so it's only 7 years after that. So that's real early.
Yeah, we are in like the fossil history, the fossil record of football going back that far.
The stocking cap era of football.
Yes. Yeah, I was looking just to find some you know, numbers, make sure all my stuff was right. Earlier today, I was just doing some fact checking. I found a pretty cool article. It's about 10 years old from Penn Charter's Alumni Magazine, I think it was. And it had a picture, and, you know, it was there. The guys were sitting there with the big old watermelon football, you know, massive. And people were like, why didn't they throw the ball until later? Well, you couldn't have thrown that thing. But, you know, it's definitely very, very old. The Interac has a couple really old rivalries. The Hill School, which is another suburban Philly school, Germantown Academy and Penn Charter, both in the Philadelphia area. Hill School is another school down that way. They've been playing Lawrenceville, which is out of New Jersey. They started playing in 1887 as well. And then Haverford School and Episcopal Academy started playing in 1889. So the Interac is full of old rivalries like this, predominantly because the schools are very old and those kind of independent schools have tended to stick around longer than other schools that might have merged and consolidated with other nearby public schools. Another lopsided one. I promise we have closer ones coming up, but this is another lopsided rivalry. Penn Charter leads this one, and this number is so huge. It sounds crazy, but they've just been playing so long. Penn Charter has won 87 games in the series. Then Germantown's won 37, and they've tied 11 times. So not close in that regard. It's been closer lately, though. Penn Charter won a lot of games early on, and they've continued to be successful. But this game's a little bit more competitive in the past decade or so than it was for a long time before that. And just a lot of things about this game that I think the average fan of you know, just a regular public school, you know, you kind of get those different, that different flavor when you're talking about a pair of schools like this, private schools where they play every year on a specific day. And I'm not going to name it. I'm going to name it both ways, because if you're a Penn Charter fan, it's PCGA day, but Germantown Academy fans call it GAPC day because they need to make sure your school goes first. And it's not just a football game. They do lots of athletic competitions, academic competitions, between the two schools throughout the day. And the football game is kind of the centerpiece of that. So pretty cool, extremely old. Game MVP gets what's called the Geist Trophy, which is named after a Germantown graduate who was killed in Korea. So lots of cool little flair to this game. In addition to the fact that it's very old and has two, you know, really prestigious schools at the center of it.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I know you talked recently with our friend Arnie Chapman on the Football History Dude podcast. And for those that are not from Pennsylvania, you have to realize that the Philadelphia schools, especially these big schools, weren't part of the PIAA until probably, 15 years ago, maybe?
It was about 07, 08.
Yeah, so this is sort of a new tradition of even any of the Philadelphia schools participating in the state playoffs. They had their own playoffs, which were, you know, I'm sure tremendous. You know, I've heard stories about how these things, and these there's schools, and I think these are two of them that are, they're like the sizes of, Division II universities, you know, the amount of students they have at them. They're big.
Yeah, so. And, you know, again, we can go through names of all these rivalries, but Penn Charter's got, you know, a guy with a lot of name recognition right now. Matt Ryan went there. And Mike McGlinchey, who's an offensive lineman in the NFL, and is Matt Ryan's cousin, I believe. They both went to Penn Charter. But, yeah, the Interac's kind of a different animal because, yeah, they're the only – that only small cluster of teams in the state, really, that's not part of the PIAA anymore. There are a handful of teams, and by handful, I mean – I think four or five, trying to play eight man right now. So they're not officially, I think the schools are still members of PIAA, but eight man football is not sanctioned by the PIAA at this point. But for the most part, these Interac schools are really the only schools that aren't part of the PIAA. So they've kind of existed. I think if you're not in that Philadelphia area or around Mercersburg is a little bit of an outlier. And then in the West, Kiski Prep is kind of in that boat as well. But there's not a lot of schools outside of the Philadelphia area that fit in that category. So I think that for a lot of fans across the state, a lot of the Interac stuff almost seems to happen behind a curtain. Like you don't really know it's there until you go dig for it and find it. It's not always right front and center unless you're right in that immediate geographic area. If you're in Philadelphia, you're probably seeing it in the Inquirer and everything else. And Ted Sillery's website, which is one of the best, I would call it the best, high school football websites on the internet. Lots and lots of stuff on the internet on there. But, you know, if you're somebody who lives in Harrisburg or Scranton or Newcastle, you probably don't know a lot about the Interac. just because it's kind of off the beaten path, off the map a little bit. So I wanted to highlight that its age and everything that kind of goes around it. It's kind of how really in the dawn of high school football, those are the schools that were playing. They were private schools, prep schools, you know, in some cases boarding schools or military schools. So, you know, I thought this was a good fit for the list.
Now was it in football where whoever would win the Philadelphia Interact, would they play like the teams from New York City, the champion, or is that just in basketball? They did that. I know there's one sport.
Yeah. I think they did that in basketball. I'm not familiar with that coming across in football or not, or maybe I haven't come across it. That might be a great opportunity for somebody to point me in the right direction on that. So that sounds awesome.
I might be mistaken on it. Maybe I'm getting basketball confused, but when you started saying that, I'm thinking, yeah, the thing, I knew they had a championship game, but it wasn't just, they were playing a different city and I thought it was New York City.
There's a lot of the Interact, you know, those schools have a lot of crossover with, like I said, like New Jersey schools. So like I mentioned, Lawrenceville, Petty School, Pennington, Hun School, I think, Princeton's prep school. So there's a lot of crossover out of state there. I thought it was a pretty neat thing, and I learned some things researching that one for sure. So we go from the oldest one to the oldest rivalry in the state to what is the newest rivalry on my list. Two teams that have only played 36 times all time, and they actually haven't played for a couple of years. They haven't played since 2017, but I think that I would be slaughtered online if I didn't include this one. It's Harrisburg and Bishop McDevitt. You know, just hearing the name, I think people can understand part of the draw of this game. You have Harrisburg, one of the, you know, 10 biggest cities in the state, against that city's Catholic school. And, you know, there's naturally going to be a little bit of that, you know, private public kind of intensity that always comes. You can't avoid it, so you might as well mention a little bit. But I think one of the coolest things about this series is, first of all, it's tied all time. It's 18-18. So neither team has the upper hand. And
you can't get any more balanced than that, that's for sure.
No, they've never even tied. So, I mean, it's one team one year, one team the other year. And before, Bishop McDevitt several years ago built a new school that was a little bit further removed from downtown. But before they did that, for the first probably at least 30 games of this series, they always played this game on Saturday morning. And the bands and the players would literally just walk down the street because the schools were only two blocks away. So the bands and the team would just walk down the street to the other school and they play on a Saturday morning, which I think is one of those things you only get in high school football. You know, it's just a really,
that's cool.
really interesting thing that you only get, I think, at that level of football. And they've only played since 1982. Harrisburg was formed in 1971, but they didn't play for over a decade after that. But prior to that, Bishop McDevitt had played the two forerunners to Harrisburg. And I talked about these teams a little bit in my interview with Arnie, but one was John Harris and one was William Penn. And those two schools closed at the end of 1970 and became Harrisburg High. McDevitt didn't have a lot of success against either of those teams. But to be fair, McDevitt's heyday really didn't start until, you know, arguably the 80s. But they went 122-2 against John Harris and 729-6 against William Penn. So I think that that's probably why they didn't play Harrisburg High for a while, thinking these two teams that, you know, we haven't had a lot of success against, they combined. And now we probably want to give it some time before we start playing that team. But I think there's only a couple games in the state that can kind of match this game when you're talking about name recognition. And another one is going to be two games from this, but you know, when you're just going back 30 years, you know, Harrisburg and McDevitt, you're talking about Ricky Waters, LaShawn McCoy, Micah Parsons, Noah Spence, who, you know, played in the NFL, probably didn't have the career everybody thought he might, but was one of the most highly recruited guys out of Pennsylvania in a 15-year period. Rekhi Nelson played at Notre Dame in the 90s. Cameron Artis Payne has played in the NFL. So you have a lot of guys, and those are just recent guys. You know, most of those guys have played since 2000. And so you have a lot of talent. You have a lot of proximity involved in this one. The series is tied 18-18. You got the cool thing about walking down the street to play the game on a Saturday morning. Bishop McDevitt's old field was called the Rock Pile. The nickname of it was the Rock Pile. So just think about two teams walking down the street to play at the Rock Pile is a pretty cool thing. So, you know, if you read that in a book, you'd think the book was garbage, but if it's real life, it's awesome. So that's what I like about that one. So Harrisburg McDevitt's definitely a passionate one and had to be on the list, even though it's only 36 games long.
All right, it's that time where we're going to pause this conversation again because we're breaking this up into another couple parts here as we have four more great rivalries we're going to talk about with a PA football history historian from his great website, PAFBHistory.com. And we'll get some more of that in our next episode, just 2 days from now, where we'll talk about some more of these great Pennsylvania high school rivalries. So stay tuned. And till tomorrow, everybody, have a great Gridiron Day. That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.